shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again, we just want to say how grateful we are to have this place to come to on this Lord's Day, commemorating your resurrection. We know, Lord, that it's not by happenstance, but this was decreed even before the foundation of the world that we should meet here together and worship you, Lord, hopefully and believing in spirit and in truth. Being numbered as one of yours, Lord, we believe that. And the way we believe the word of the hour, Father, we believe that's ordained of you, and we believe it is a part of you. We cannot see otherwise, O God, and we do not believe we've been blinded by the God of this world or by the teachings and doctrines of men, because this is so different from anything that has ever been presented in books or books of theology or whatsoever. And Lord, if we've been blinded, then we've been blinded somehow by the enemy, giving us a wrong understanding of a really revealed and truthful word at this hour, because we know that you have set a vindicated prophet amongst us. You sent him, Lord, and then you took him, but you did not take the Spirit that came to him, the Holy Spirit, Lord, and in the form of a pillar of fire, and brought this light of this hour. We know that we have the light, we have the life, we have it all, ready to be standing here, Lord, when the resurrection takes place, and be changed and be caught away. Father, these things we know are real, they're true, we stand on them. We ask you now to help us in this morning service, Lord. May the word come forth as you would have it come forth, in the way you'd have it to come forth, and to be preached that way, and to be received that way. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, before we start reading from the token message, which we're on page 28 at this time, I'd like to use a portion of the sermon that is called The Spirit of Truth, preached by Brother Branham, wherein Brother Branham describes the difference between the token himself and the measure of the Spirit granted to the individuals. And he also points out how that the token himself, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, has come, and as the Son of Man is revealing himself through a prophet. Now, you might have to switch the tape back to get that, but I want to read it again. It's before we start then in the message on page 28 of the token, we're going to read a portion of the sermon that Brother Branham preached called The Spirit of Truth, wherein Brother Branham describes the difference between the token himself and the measure of the Spirit granted, that's by the token himself, to the individuals. And he also points out how that token himself, which is the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit, has come, is here. And as the Son of Man is revealing himself through the prophet, that's the role. Now, that this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the completeness of the Holy Spirit is the appearing, cannot be set aside or gainsaid. Since Brother Branham speaks on Genesis 18 to show this, we know it is the evening time that the token must come. It is now that once more the Word, or Logos, fulfills John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let it sink in. As Sir John said, the Logos was the life, and the life was the light. You cannot separate them. Christ, our life, according to Colossians, has appeared and brought unto us the evening time light by the shout. And we will see by the token message that rejected light is rejected life. Let that sink in. Rejected light is rejected life. That's according to John, the Gospel, and the Epistles. As Brother Branham himself said, nothing outside of this message will come to light. And that embraces all who went before us, because they had the same message, but not the fullness. Where the churches fell off into denominations, destroyed themselves by spiritual death, that light kept coming up and coming up until it came to the protector of the wheat itself, which is this chaff, the husk. And the life went from the, as it went from the seed into the stalk, into the tassel, into the chaff. Now it's in the last little bit of the bride itself, but it's come back to the original, which absolutely is proven by the sign of the resurrection, which is God appearing amongst us, as he did in Egypt. But not only so, in signs and wonders, but personally, as he was seen by the people, and the fire upon Mount Sinai, Brother Branham said, scientific proof. And that took place in the Coliseum down there in Houston when the prophet was challenged. West doesn't know how fortunate he is if he had he really raised his fist in the face of the prophet instead of William Branham. Instead of Brother Bosworth. There's no doubt he'd have been carried off that platform feet first. He'd have died. Man ignorant, but you can't expect anything but ignorance when you go to seminaries, because it's built upon calculated ignorance of what the word really is. And I say calculated because men know they are guessing. Don't worry, I preached a lot of sermons. I knew I was guessing. Even right today, I look at things and I trust I'm not guessing. I want to zero in on what the prophet said. All right, we're going to start reading then on page 28, paragraph 5, and I hope I can cover about 14 pages today. When I see the blood, remember this, he's talking about the token, and he's prefacing the antitype through the type, which is back in the days of Moses. When I see the blood, that's the token. He had to see the actual chemistry because the life was gone from it. It was animal life. But here today, see, it's his own life that was in the blood. And the chemistry was only a signal or a sign of sanctification. So that's what they had. They only had a token in the sense that it represented the reality. Today we have the reality, and our token is a part of that reality. Now, I'm going to read out of here because the Spirit of Truth. And on page 43, Brother Branham uses Genesis 18, where Sarah's in the tent, God's back is to the tent, and he knows what Sarah's thinking. She laughed in her heart. Now, Brother Branham brings this to his own ministry in a prayer line, and here is what he says concerning Genesis 18, then to himself. A man standing there, God representing himself in human flesh. In other words, the human flesh stood for God. The human flesh wasn't God. God was in there. Jesus said it would be the same thing at the coming of the Son of Man. I ask you a question. Did the Son of Man come or didn't he come? See, now this is where people are entirely confused, and I don't put it down merely to spiritual ignorance. I put it down to willful, which we'll read in Hebrews 10, a willful ignorance. Hebrews 11, a willful ignorance. Are you this morning willfully ignorant because it suits your pattern of life? And I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about other things. See, I want to address you in a pastoral aspect. Now, he's talking to this little woman. And he says there was a little woman. When God was in Christ, he had the Spirit fully. Now, watch this carefully. When God was in Christ, that's the Bible said, Christ, God was in Christ. He had the Spirit fully. He was God. I'm just one of his servants. You're just one of his servants. We have the Spirit by measure. He, Jesus, the Christ, had it without measure. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In me is just a little gift. In you is a gift of it. But no matter how little it is, it's the same Spirit. Now that's what we've been teaching all along. And these are words that I've used hundreds of times, spent literally hours. He epitomizes it, puts it right down here. And this is the truth. The token is here dispensing of himself, giving of himself a little part of the token, making that our token. So all the reality of God that is God, there's no difference in our portion. Like I showed you many, many times, how that works out in the male and the female, in procreation, what lies within the attributes. It's all wound up in that little sperm and egg that you have to take a microscope to. Now, in the light of God, you could see that what we would have is microscopic, but it's the same. It's like when God put his Spirit upon Moses. And notice what he did. That's like in Jesus Christ. Then he took the Spirit off of Moses enough for 70, gave him each a little bit. But Moses was the one that stood there with that Spirit. Now, it was greater by far. That's why we read last week concerning Luther had a measure of the Spirit. That was the age. But the individual would have a measure also. But it wouldn't be, but it was increasing in knowledge. Now you see where we're at. We're at the very place, the fullness once more amongst us. See, the knowledge has come to where this knowledge is going to bring the dead out of the ground. The knowledge in us. It doesn't mean that we'll do it. It means what happens to us is in the divine program of God to allow this next step. Then comes the next step, which is the immortality. Already the Son of Righteousness has risen with healing in his wings, immortality amongst us. So, you understand what we're saying. All right, but the life itself is the token. Colossians 3 and 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. In other words, perfectly manifested, absolutely manifested in his true character as to who he exactly is. How much do people know of God when they branded Jesus Christ the devil? Then how much do they know of God 2,000 years from now, from then, this hour? Easy to brand Brother Branham of the devil. Seventh-day Adventist, Nazarene, you name it. How many of them blasphemed the Holy Ghost in the days of Pentecost? That's why they're dead, 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 dead. We'll go into that. You think Pentecost not dead? Just as dead. What did it? Organization. You got to stay with your organization. See? Old Foxy Loxy. He took to taking Henny Penny, Goosey Lucy, Cocky Locky, and Turkey Lurky, and a whole bunch of them right down to the pit. Oh, they're just a bunch of old chickens in organization. There's no eagles. You tell me a fox get an eagle. You go pick a fox up and bust his neck. Rip him to shreds. They run when they see a big eagle coming. Now, continue. But the life itself is the token. The very life that's manifested, got a picture. The very life that proved itself who it was, doing the sign of the resurrection, proving he's risen from the dead amongst the Gentiles, has taken over headship to raise the dead. Absolutely, you have a part of that. That's why you can say amen to every single word. And with it comes understanding. Don't you try to take a phrase of Brother Branham and bend it around to suit your purpose. Say, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. They say, well, if I understand or not, what do you think he's given for? For us to give understanding. If it wasn't to give understanding, you muddied the waters. Sure, let's get that straight. Now, for without the circumcision, without the token. Now, the token was the circumcision that cut them off spiritually from spiritual death, that placed them. Placed them in the kingdom, in the two kingdoms, and showed the difference. He said, now without that token, you're not even in the covenant, the whole thing works together. In other words, you cannot go to the Bible and say, here's what the Bible says, I claim it, it's mine. Oh, that's wonderful. But you better start where it all starts, which is to claim the token and receive it. Because you're not going to get any help outside of it. There's just no way, shape, and form. Now, if you say, you're circumcised to the Word, and it only, then you'll believe the Word. If you believe the Word, then the token has got to come. For he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you notice what he's saying there. Remember the Roman Catholic said to Brother Branham, the priest, he said, now, we got the power to forgive sins. He said, sure, if you do it like the Bible. What do you mean? Well, Peter on the day of Pentecost said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? The priest said, you can remit sins that way. Everybody has that power. Because the literal Greek does not say what the Roman Catholics and Protestants say. It says, you'll remit what has previously been remitted. In other words, where you see what God has done, the light of the hour, the go-ahead signal is yours to say this is the way of salvation. Now notice what Brother Branham said. If you're circumcised to the Word, and it only, you'll believe the Word. If you believe the Word, then the token has got to come. Now that sounds like the cart before the horse. Say, well, the token will come when I believe Brother Branham's message thoroughly. Hold it, he didn't say that. He said these words here, repent and be baptized. If you've seen and understood that, which is God and the prophet, and your knowledge is secure in that reality, and say, this is it, then you can come to God and say, I want a part of it. And how do you get it? You repent, which means change your mind. that your old thinking goes. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things you do. And God guarantees the third. And it's without sensation. Then, from that rebirth, you start growing up into the head, into the Holy Ghost. By the virtues that are born within you, which begin displacing the things of the world. Because there's a new life. And that life wants to obliterate, literally annihilate the old life. Which doesn't mean you're going to die and then this life take over and you're some kind of a zombie. No, it's not that at all. It's by your will becoming dedicated to the will of Almighty God. Now notice then the preparation for His promised land people. Now notice what He labels them, promised land people. They're going into Canaan. They're under the promise that Abraham and his seed would have that land. Now we are under the covenant to go into the millennium. And you'll notice that every single one of the promises to Abraham led to the resurrection. I preached on that years ago in Macon. It's about 1975 or somewhere in there. You can get the tapes. They're still available. On the faith of Abraham. Trace it right through. He looked for a city that hath foundation, builder and maker is God. That's not Palestine. You're talking about something else. That's resurrection, brother, sister. That's New Jerusalem, the whole thing. See, although it will be in Palestine, don't worry. We'll be down here. Who worries about Palestine? We'll take over the whole thing. Now, He had a preparation for His promised land people. In other words, they couldn't go into what was promised them, which was a covenant, without a superimposition of something else. Which would have to be another covenant. First, He had a people, He had made a land for them. He had prepared a land for them. And now, He sent down there a preparation for it, for the promised land people. In other words, He's saying here, God, it was time for them to come into the land. Remember, the Word of God says, it says that, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. The Word of God would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, we are a promised land people, and we have a promise. Now, many people just believe that and say, well, that's great. I've taken that, and I've spoken in tongues. I've done this, I've done that, and just believe that. See? Now, you see, the thing is, they don't have a clue that the appearing of the Son of Man is in this hour, that He comes in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire and a prophet, that this is Elijah. Amen. They don't have a clue to that. That's where they're wrong. So, there's a promised land, people, and there's a promise to the people to get them ready for the promised land. Now, the Bible said God had the land ready. How did He have it ready? Through the cup of iniquity of the Amorites, the Sodomites, the Canaanites, and the whole bunch of them. And the Canaanites were Sodomites. They had to go and rid the land. Now, we'll rid the land here by Sodomites pretty soon. If it just gets another 100 years, the angels will take over and something worse than that. They'll just rot in the ground. But God has reserved fire. You can see where Brother Branham said there's going to be flames even 100 miles high and clear the whole atmosphere, even in terms. Cremation will soon be a very popular thing. There's a real resentment going through the land at this time. I don't want to be involved in it because we're safe in our ark. All right, now, He had a preparation, and the preparation was through a prophet who was vindicated to tell the people what the password was, what the token was, what the secret was. All people want a little special secret. Well, honey, you open your big ears this morning. I'm going to give you the secret, your own little secret. You better be full of the Holy Ghost, or you're not going to make it, neither will I. Oh, yeah. How'd He do it? He sent a prophet with a message identified by a pillar of fire and gave a token that they could rest assured that it was right. The token was brought in to prove He is and all about it. You get a part of that, how could you miss? It was for a consolation. Certainly. This hour gives consolation. We found that in 2 Thessalonians. Always we go back to Scripture, brother, sister. I don't care if I've read it 100 times. It says here in the fifth verse, which is a manifest token, that's 2 Thessalonians 1 and 5, which is a manifest token, that's your tribulation that you're enduring, precious, of the righteous judgment of God, that you might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for you, for which you also suffer, seeing it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now he's going to bring tribulation upon, the great tribulation upon the people of this end time. And to you who are troubled, relax with us. When? At the time when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. There it is right there. People, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe anything. Be my guest. I'm not here to convince anybody. Either here, personally, in a live audience, or on cassettes, or on video. I don't care what it is. If I got in the radio, if I got in TV, I got no ask to grind. This is what I believe. And I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing else that touches with a 40-foot pole, because there isn't any vindication outside of it.
Amen. Right.
They think there is, but there isn't. Because the definitive is always with the Word. But it matches the Word, you better be careful. Now it says you can in that day of flaming fire, angels that come down. And this is the day what? The day of our Lord, which brings fire, but not at this minute. The fire isn't going to hit the gospel that disobeyed the gospel. This proves that this is the hour of judgment and the fire is coming. This message is judgmental. Well, look at that. They don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This starts it just exactly as Brother Branham took Revelation 1 and 12 and showed, I think it's 1 and 12, and showed the judge and took us to the white throne. He's right on target. Because that's exactly right. Because once you start judgment, it doesn't close. It slides off for a while because there's nothing to judge the millennium's on. Soon as the millennium's over and the second resurrection takes place, judgment is right back where it was. The same one with the beard, like as ancient days as it was. God in human form, brother, sister, is still God. The form is just the human part. But it's not like yours and mine. Mary was the incubator, so to speak, but that's just where it was. See? Yet then it says, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them believe. Well, he's coming to be amongst his saints. We'll get to that too later on. All right, listen. Israel coming out of Egypt then was a type. Absolutely. This is the anti-type of the church coming out of denomination. Now, not all denominations, he said. I mean the bride. He's a little checking. He said, I mean, the bride is coming out of denomination. Some people, some of the independents, are just as bad as denominations, sometimes worse. I'm talking about the applied token. Now, listen. What has God applied to the church as a member, as many members, as a unit, as a bride? Himself. We're back to headship. The cornerstone is now the capstone. The same one that, as we showed you on the board, began pouring into the church, it's now poured in. And the ministry, being identical, proving who it was, allows him to come down and assume headship. But many still will not allow him because he's standing at the door knocking. They put him out there keeping him out. Let me tell you something. You don't understand what I'm saying. Inadvertently, you are keeping him out. Or, my God, what am I talking? What does the prophet talk about? See? I'm talking about the applied token, Brother Brand says. The token agrees with every word. Now he's talking about you having received the token after you saw and knew what was real, but you didn't have reality. You said, this is it, like old Bill Dow. Perfect example. Methodist all his life, pretty good old boy. Not as good as a lot of them, but pretty good old boy. He said, this is it. Well, he said, what am I going to do? Well, Brother Dan said, you believe? He said, sure, I believe that. I believe that. Well, he said, repent and be baptized. He said, that's the prescription. Do you do it? Yeah, we'll do it. Went right ahead. Well, he said, no. God lives up to his word. So I said, well, I want a sensation. Well, you go ahead and want a sensation. See, it shows right there that There's something still wrong with this people. They can't take God's evidence. They want their own. Of course, they want to go back to, to getting with the priest. I know this age is the freakiest age I've ever seen. And boy, there's sheep kicks in there and everything else. I don't see the purpose. There's no purpose. Brother Brandon categorically said, he said, heathen will see the sign just once, and 30,000 come in to get healing for the priest. He said, America, he said, you've got to see it and see it. It's come so common you can't do a thing with you anymore. See? The token agrees with every word. Not this down here, but now that you've got the token. Then how can a person say he's full of the Holy Ghost, he's got the token, when he disagrees with the token's appearance and what the token is doing and saying? They don't even know a prophet could be in the land. They either say there's no such thing anymore, or we don't need him. Oh, come on, you know what the Pentecostals say, they want their own brand. Like the prophets of Baal. I'm going to pull my punches. I was a Pentecostal, so nobody can tell me that I'm running them down. I know it was there. From the day I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I knew something was wrong. Didn't know what it was, but knew something was wrong. Now that I don't have any problem. Now every word, it reads every word. It has got to because it is the word. What does it mean? It is the word. It's Logos. How was the word ever given? By Logos. A manifestation. God in the pillar of fire coming down and giving the word to the prophets. Just think, said Brother Branham. The same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing the word. See, it's got to because it is the word. It is the life that was in the word. That's beautiful. It was the life that was in the word. My words are spiritual. They are life, said Jesus, who is the Christ. All right. Now, read on further here. When Moses began his ministry in Israel with great signs, you see, Israel quickly gathered all over Egypt, from all Egypt to Goshen, coming back to the home place because they knew something was going to happen. What a type. Then down below, the readers just won't. He sang the song, They Come East and the West. Displaying the token. I will raise him up at the last day. Certainly, we're in the last day. Now, we look at that especially here, where it says that displaying the token. Now, the point is, who is displaying the token? God is displaying the token. The displayed token is the sign of the resurrection, proving it is resurrection hour. Couldn't happen before Israel got back in the homeland. And I got something to tell you about that later on. Now, the people gathering in Goshen, into Goshen, they were ready. They knew something was fixing to happen. They were like, you take ducks when it's time for swarming. And, you know, moving out. Bees swarm, but ducks, you know, they flock out. They might run together. When bees, everything else gets ready, there is some instinct draws them. Like Brother Band said, 10 people in one place with one mind, there'll be a rapture. The Holy Spirit draws the people. Oh, when it came time for the great wrath of God to fall. Now, he's talking about the day of Noah. There came two ducks, male and female. Two geese, male and female. Two horses, male and female. Something another pulling them, the predestinated. The rest of them perished. Oh, the rest of them perished. Now, let's just take a look at this here. And first thing we note, that this message is judgmental. He warns the token coming is judgment, though there is rest for the bride, consolation, assurance. It doesn't work that way for the lost. Now notice. Over here, in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's already come and appearing as the Son of Man, and by our gathering together unto him. Now he tells you there's a gathering together unto him at the time of that appearing. Now, let's go to Malachi 4 and 1. And we know that one. This is the judgment. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn us with the Lord of hosts, and leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you the Son of Righteousness, that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise healing his wings, and you'll go forth as calves of the stall, and tread down the wicked, they'll be ashes under your soles, your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord. Now, you know that's a little bit of a period of time. Now, this judgmental. Now, it tells you over here in Thessalonians that there's going to be a gathering together. Now, let's go a little bit further with this. And we're going to go to 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I'm sorry, just one of these problems I have. I'll never get too much done. 14th verse beginning. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Now, usually a person, the king, doesn't carry a sharp sickle. He carries a sword. So the sickle evidently is the word of God. That's what Revelation 19 says, the same thing. Another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice, and the sat in the cloud, thrust in the sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Notice that the harvest is ripe, the earth. Now the bride is not of the earth earthy. She's patterned after the Lord from heaven. Remember, the scripture tells us the first man's of the earth earthy, the second is the Lord from heaven. We've got our citizenship, everything all changed. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the heaven, of the temple in heaven, saying he also had a sharp sickle. To me, this is it's a picture of the Spirit of the living God moving through the earth in the form of messenger, like it, God's always had a form. Another messenger came from the altar, which had power of fire, and cried a loud voice, and had the sharp sickle, saying, "Trust in the sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth." Now remember, it says, here, gather the clusters of the vine. Now that's, you know what that is, that's denominations. Remember, this is spiritual, not politics, but politics have got in, always does. And the angel thrust in his sickle on the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast in the great winepress the wrath of God, great tribulation. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even of the horses bride, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You're back here at the Armageddon. So you can see here that this message is strictly judgmental, and it's happening. Now, I'm going to get to Thessalonians, the second chapter, and I want to leave that one verse, number one there, but let's look at this here. Verse 8, "Then shall the wicked be revealed," that wicked one, the Antichrist, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his presence." It's going to be a confrontation. That's when the saints come back with him. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan." In other words, the very presence is going to be Satan himself in a human body, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent strong delusion, they'll believe a lie. Now, who is it that doesn't believe the lie? The elect. And when they're gone, there's nothing left. So you see, this is judgmental. There's a division going on now, and those that are taken will miss the wrath, and those that aren't taken will not miss the wrath. And it looks to me like even all foolish virgin is gone by that time. I can't place it, but I know one thing. Brother Branham went from chaff to tares. And when you go from chaff to tares, you have changed horses. You've changed life. Because absolute tares do not have a chaff that a wheat can come out of. So there's a contradistinction here. There's a vine of God has been taken. This is the vine of the earth. What is it? Cain. This is the children that came that way. And his bunch. All right, they perished. But those who felt that tug to come in, they knew the ark was prepared. It was a token. There was coming a rain. They knew there was coming a rain. No matter what the display was and what other people thought. In other words, what they thought of the ark didn't bother those going in. It didn't bother the ducks and the geese and the horses and the cows and things. It just bothers man. He thinks he's got a right to certain things. He doesn't have rights at all. They knew something inside of them said, "Get in there right quick. Get into there. Because that is the only place that's going to be safe. Because God prepared a prophet. You know that, Brother Ban said, a true sign overlooked is a prophet? What would you say? Well, just a minute. I believe a prophet is so obvious they can't overlook him. That is true, they will see him, but they won't comprehend what he's all about. Would they stop and say, "What is this all about anyway? What is going on here? Something is going on. I want to know." Now, some people have that attitude and they're not elect. They're just too bad. But the elect want to know. See? He sent the ark as a sign. The prophet was a sign. The prophet is a prepared person. Brother Branham is telling you categorically, you just don't suddenly become God's Johnny on the spot. It starts before you're born. And it goes on until you are ready for the job that God has. And when you're ready for that job, you're completely, as Brother Branham said, in a tube. You become a bond slave to God. It took God 80 years to form Moses. But those last 40 years, believe me, he certainly was the prophet of God. Amen. And Brother Branham was formed, went through tribulation, trials, and pressures until 1963. And then when he was where God wanted him, where he could even take any secret to the grave, he could be perfectly trusted. Then God gave him the secrets that we had to know. In such a way the devil can't change them. They're all on tape. There's nothing the devil can do about this. It's all vindicated. See, the devil cannot handle the Word of God. The Word of God was handled for the elect. What more do you want? Say, well, I want this, I want that. Well, you want whatever you want. Be my guest. I have no problem. I've had enough to do with preachers and people as it is all these years I've lived now that anybody can do what he wants. I wouldn't suggest you do it not around me necessarily, but you do what you want. I'm not asking for trouble. Said the rain was coming, judgment was coming. They went in two by two. The animals went in two by two in the ark. Because they got, and he tapers off, they needed, no matter what the rest said, all outside the ark perished. That is true, see. In other words, we're coming to a unity, as Brother Branham said, we'll be one with that word, we'll know where the word is taking us, truly. All outside the token of the blood perished, everyone. And everyone outside the token of the Holy Ghost will perish. Now that's a definitive statement. No matter how good, that could be foolish virgin, how much of a church member, a lot of them in Noah's day, a lot in the days of Moses, but a man that failed to apply the blood as a token perished. Only the bride and 144,000 make it. No one else at the end time because it's closing out time. See? Now, at this hour then there's a unity with the Word of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. And we're coming into that unity. As it says, at that day, there'll be a unity of mind and word. And love will be the capstone. That'll be our motivation also. Living out the word by the one living within. That's coming. That's your stature, perfect man also. Those who fail to go into the ark perished. Those who fail to come into Christ, he is the ark. But one spirit, all baptized in one body. The mystical, not church, but mystical. Not denomination, mystical body of Jesus Christ. By one spirit, capital S-P-I-R-T, we're all immersed into one body. That's why I preach the union, the uniting time sign, visible union. See? He said in there that the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Sure, that's true. Because it's a special way the Spirit is using himself or dealing with himself, dealing with people, working through a prophet. See? Then the token is on the door, for you are in Christ. And he was the one-year sacrifice. Well, he said, I am the door. He stood the judgment. And when God looks upon that, God cannot do a thing. See? You're just as safe as you can be. Because God and Christ are the self-same person. The Spirit being made flesh and dwelt among us. And there is God with his own self in you. His own children into the body. There you are, not a chemist or a chemical, but the Spirit. I will pass over you. And that's, I think, it's pretty well like Hebrews, the second chapter, used it many, many times. Let me just take that because I can't quote it this time. My mind's drawing a blank on it, so there's no use me fooling with it. I just read it. Okay. It says, saying, I will declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. The Father and his family, the Father amongst us, the Holy Spirit and the children that he's begotten unto eternal life. He is here, and he's going to be here to raise the dead, and he'll be amongst the whole true church, the whole living bride. He will be, there's no doubt about it. Then that spirit that's in our midst will take us up. And when it gets up to where the body of Jesus Christ begins to come down, which is all dimensional, don't we even think about it. That spirit incarnates itself. And that's the time he crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They came from all Egypt together into one this one place, and so they could be under the token. See, you've got to come to this revelation. That's all there is to it. They might have come from Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Pentecost, everything else, to get under the token like it was then. Now, those seven paragraphs that I read there, the main keynote is God prepared a prophet. Never lose sight of the prophet. No prophet, no ark. No prophet, no exodus. No prophet, no going in. No prophet, no true sign. And he's obligated by Amos, when he's going to do something, to send a prophet. Secondly, all who bypassed Noah and Moses died. No prophet, no token. That means you have no safety for you. You cannot separate them. Now people will. And they'll do it all in the name of Jesus Christ and say, I'm loyal to Jesus. Don't tell me I need anybody. That's as bad as having a pope. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The pope is not far off as far as the truth is concerned. It's just he himself is a liar. There is a vicar of Christ.
Amen.
One who stands and he said, that's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he in turn has a vicar. And it keeps moving down, down, down. But every one of you is a vicar. Where you represent Jesus Christ, become a testimony to Almighty God. Let's not lose sight of truth, my brother, my sister, because people mess with it. But I'll not stop drinking good, pure water just because people throw gumboots and everything else in the river. No siree. Now, this is going on today, right at this moment. Where are we being gathered? In the message, which is the Word, which is Christ. Because gathering to Him can only be by a living or currently going on word or ongoing word. So here we are. Okay? Up at page 31. It was the pillar of fire that represented them. Now the pillar of fire represents us. We don't stand on our own. We don't have to present ourselves. We're out of the picture. Just like when Israel killed the lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, they were out of the picture. Of what picture? Supplying redemption. The ticket was purchased. We're on our way. See, we're in the same position. See? They said one told another, another told another, another told another. First thing you know, they all began to come. They began to come and they watched the sign of God and they said, judgment's at hand. They watched the prophet. And they said, this got to mean something. What does it mean? It means judgment. Now, most people don't want a prophet for judgment. They want a pat on the back. Show me. God was the first prophet. He's still his prophet, his own prophet. And he never came down with a pat on the back. He came down with judgment. We've seen 6,000 years of it. And I've had enough of the sin of hate that Adam put upon us. But there's a free grace of God. As we did not do the sin that Adam did, and we're stuck with it, neither did we pay the price that Jesus paid, and we're stuck with it. Praise God. See? Then the prophet said, I have heard from God. And they said, ha, ha, you heard from God. I just threw that in there. Brother Ben didn't put it. He said, I have heard from God. There will be a token. And you put the blood upon the door. Slay the lamb. Put the blood upon the door. That will be a token because death is fixing to strike. Now notice the lamb had to die first. It's Hebrew 6 time. It's running out. Right down the line. All right, now. we'll just read about 3 paragraphs there. The next paragraph. Let me tell you today as his servant, unless the token is on the door, their spiritual death is going to strike. And all the churches are headed back for the council, the World Council of Churches. What's spiritual death? The second death. Lake of fire. They're all going back to Catholicism, and only those that are genuine, born again, are going to stay out. Well, that's the truth. All right. Again, the prophet and the token are inseparable. You know, how many people have the Holy Ghost and say they believe this message in carpet by Brother Branham? You know, you know there's something inherently wrong there, very, very wrong. Okay. Now, let me go back to Exodus 28 here. I beg your pardon. Exodus 10 and 28. I think I might want it. If I got my little note in here, right? Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, Thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And the Lord, then the fourth verse, the next chapter, 11:4. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. What was it? The token. Now where is the token? What's the difference today? The token. What token? Whatever comes from that. Well, you say, well, how will I know? Because you'll agree with it. Where was the last line of defense till this moment? Pentecost. And they went to sensations and gifts and manifestations. And the end time, everything that's genuine can be imitated, except they can never handle the word. Now you say, that leaves us a pretty rough spot. It leaves you in a very rough spot. You think God can't out-trick the devil? Any day of the week. See? God puts it where these people can't do a thing. It always betrays them on the word. Now, if we make mistakes, the word comes behind and corrects us. Word will never come behind them and correct you if they don't have any word to correct them. Because he is the word. He's the life in the word. Then he becomes manifested. Now, don't rely. Oh, no. Not the next one. Remember, not you Pentecost denomination, because you're already in it. So they're dead. Now he's saying, now that I'm not saying Pentecost is bride. He said, you missed it. You're dead, you denominated. They perished. They sacrificed. They went back. They put him outside the door. But he is looking for the token. Because the only thing they relied upon was speaking in tongues. Now, Pentecost came right up to the token and fell back. You can't tell them that, but they did. See? They sacrificed, they came right up. Now, what did the blood supply via the Holy Spirit to Pentecost? Restoration of gifts and the understanding of the baptism with the Holy Ghost, though it had errors in it. The understanding. Very few in Pentecost ever understood the baptism and the born again was the same thing. No, they followed in the Crossan theory, the Presbyterian. You get the life of Christ to be born again, then you get power, which is the light, which is the Holy Spirit. So now we've got two gods. You ever get the Spirit of God, brother, not anointing, but a genuine, you got it. See how simple that makes it. How do I know? Agrees with every word. Looks at it, says that's it. Now watch how it comes together. I'll challenge any man living says he believes this message and can bring this together except the understanding of what we're saying today. You say, why do you make that challenge? Because I want to know if I'm right or wrong. Sure I'm wrong. Don't jump up and down and pray and talk about fruits and gifts and everything else. That's the old Pentecostal hogwash. We've been through that. Start pulling out of the bag. I'll start naming names and saying things myself. Pot can't call kettle black. That's true. But don't start that. Don't start an action like that. I've got this. The other guy's got that. Boasting some great character, some great thing you've done. Hogwash. Let's talk about this. That's where it is, brother, sister. Because salvation is of the Lord. Doesn't say, come along, John, Joe, and Bill, I need you. Or George and the rest didn't say that at all. But whom took he counsel? It's hard to get that across. Okay, don't rely upon speaking in tongues, anything else but the token itself. The person of, now what's he called it? The person of Jesus Christ, his own life in you. Circumcised, not just this, that, but circumcised your whole being. Till you and Christ are one, Christ in you, and his life lives out through you. Now what's he saying here? This is the stature of the perfect man. This is where you have all your roots in the Holy Ghost, where every virtue lies in the Holy Spirit, and it's in you, not just in potential. It is real, it is there, and it wants to come to full fruitage. And as you come up to the place where God is in control. And that's when God's in you, over you, and we all become one in God. I'm holding up for that, brother, sister. I'm preaching it, and you know I'm not preaching in hard. But I'm holding it up for your inspection, your understanding. Growing up into the Holy Ghost, where all these things we're putting to one side, they're not worth anything anyway. They're not worth it. So, Brother Bale, I believe I'm honest. You think at this point you are honest. You wait till you get where I'm talking about. You and I will be honest. We talk about we're this, we're that. Upright. You find out that you were just coming up that ladder. There's going to be a bride here, brother, sister, that's not a credit to God in the sense, hey, look at me, because look what I've done with what Jesus gave me. But you're looking at a masterpiece of Christ, like Da Vinci made the statue of Moses, and was so real a masterpiece, he said, speak. And Brother Branham said the bride in the last days wouldn't speak until she heard from God. She'll be and you know, when the tongue is bridled, and that tongue says the same thing, the word, because there's a motivation, you know you got a perfection here, brother, sister. Progressive in the Holy Spirit, till we go right up into where he's in control. Now from all Egypt, look. Now, as we see what they did. As we see the time appearing, we're commanded to do the same thing. You know what? Watch what the prophet said. Now, we're going to read Hebrews 10. And if you want to read with me, that's fine. Now, he reads it. Chapter 10 to verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Now, watch. There's a sacrifice for sin, evidently, then there's a knowledge of truth that goes with it. And if you turn down the truth, there's not a further sacrifice. You see what I've been teaching all these years? I'm right on the exactly what the prophet is bringing out here. This is the condemnation. The condemnation has been lifted by the death of Jesus Christ, the sprinkling of blood. It is only potential. It doesn't do you one bit of good. You are not in that covenant until you're full of the Holy Spirit, which brings life. And a light that precedes the life that brought that light is where you receive, like this here in the day of Paul and John. We'll get into that. Look, he said there remains no more sacrifice when you turn down the word. In other words, to refuse light is to refuse God. And light is revealed word, or the revelation of the word, and only Logos by a prophet can do it. See, now, if you want it, we're talking now the ultimate. We're talking about that which is absolute light. Now, until this hour, you were forgiven. It wasn't obligatory to be one with that word in a revelation, because the revelation was not given. And you could come up under the Lamb, and you had your measure. But today is different. He himself is here, not in flesh, but in the form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. Now, he's got to have a prophet. Now, you know I've read you time after time out of Matthew 23, so let's go back to Matthew 23. A certain brother said he liked the way I taught because I always crisscross back and forth and bring the truth out from many scriptures. Well, that's good. Now, he said in the 34th verse of Matthew 23, wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of you shall kill and crucify, and some of you are scourging your synagogues and preaching city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily send you all these things to come upon this generation, or this breed of people. I'll explain that later. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto you. That's the prophet. How often I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens, and the wing you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now he said, look, I would have gathered you. How? By prophets. By the word. So our gathering together at the last day is through a prophet with the word. And we come right to Logos. We're to himself. See? That's why you find today people that come in this message from literally raw heathendom. Where others have a struggle. Right now, some younger people have a struggle. It's what you came up under that's killing you. But the raw heathen come in. I love those raw heathen Catholics. They're my favorite friends. I don't care whether they're Greek Orthodox or what, or some raw, well, I don't know, as long as they're not Pentecostal. You can better watch it there. you get these heathen. They just like that, they get it. And look at their lives. Overnight. You say, my God, what are these people born? They're born again. Where was the sensation? They just knew. Well, they don't have any trouble. I think I know what I'm talking about. I better know what I'm talking about. You better rest assured I do know what I'm talking about. I've gone many a weary mile, not that it did me any good. Hopefully something will come out of it. Come out of the old rat nest. See? Okay. Now, but a fearful, certain fearful, looking for a judgment. Now notice it's certain. Not just a certain kind, but a certain, a positive. Looking for a judgment is fire indignation, which shall devour the adversary. What's the adversary? He's covertly in opposition or contrary to God. He's a real hypocrite. He make believers. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy on the truth of witnesses. You got two right there. Then you got a third in us. Somebody took what was being said. Now where did death come in? Death comes in right now. I've got two witnesses. Only need two. That's right. All he needs two. We've got three humans, prophet and us. Got the eternal. Of how much sore punishment suppose he should be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing and done death to the Spirit of God. Now let's read that out of Wheat's translation. For if we go on sinning willfully, after we have received the full knowledge of the truth. Happened back in Moses' day, happened back in Noah's day, happened in Jesus' day, happened in Paul's day. But this is now it's happening in our day. The full knowledge of the truth. Now, Paul had a full revelation, but not the really full revelation. He had an understanding of what was coming at the end of the Spirit coming, but he couldn't tell us what it was. Now, he couldn't lawfully utter it. Now, he could have had it, but he couldn't bring it forth to the people. I don't know where that starts and stops, but let it go. All right? A full revelation, a full knowledge of the truth. No longer for sin, no. For if we go on sinning willfully, after having received a full knowledge of the truth, no longer for sins does there remain a sacrifice. If the scripture runs right through. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which is about to be devouring the adversary. Notice the language, about to be. So there's an ongoing process right now to get us in the rapture and destroy the world. Now understand that. Anyone who has set aside Moses' law without mercy upon the evidence of two or three witnesses dies. By how much do you think shall he be thought worthy of sore punishment who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has considered the blood of the testament a common thing by which he was set apart for God in his service and has insulted the Spirit of grace? You see, they claim the blood, but it doesn't work without the token. Because the token is the Spirit of grace. God's present manifested grace. The grace of the blood was manifested 2,000 years ago. What is the grace today? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. So I don't have to destroy them. The people say, well, oh, God won't destroy. God will destroy. What makes people think they can tell God what to do? Yet every one of us is stupid trying to do it. Trying to bribe God. Trying to argue God. Trying to appease God. Try this. You and I can't do a thing but just knuckle under and say, God, give us mercy. Give me back to the Word somehow. They made it a common thing. Like a common denominator. No! You've got to receive the Holy Spirit. For we know the one who said, to me the meeting out of full justice belongs. I will recompense. What did he do just here? Who came down? The judge. What is that judge? My, look, you've got to understand this, brother, sister. For we know the one who said to me, the meeting out of full justice belongs. Not just justice, full justice. I will recompense. A not the widow that cried to the judge? How much more shall God recompense and avenge? And again, the Lord will judge His people. Two judgments going on. The one for the wicked ends up with the white throne. Ours has ended now. How can God go back in His word to the prophet and said, you're the righteous, sinless, virgin bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and didn't do it at all? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Look at when God comes on the scene. There's glory and there's wrath. The person can say what he wants, but that's exactly it. Minister, member, good man, moral man, whatever you are. And you know that God has taken cigarettes from you. Women, you know He's taken short hair, and everything from you. You know He did that. But then if you turn around and do desperate and count the blood of the covenant as was an unholy thing that sanctified you and brought you this far. Now you stop short. See? Now you say, how can a man count it an unholy thing? Because you don't relate and associate with understanding it was the blood in human form of that one. And what are you making it? Something other than that. Then if it's other than that, what kind of a blood was it? Won't do you any good. No, sir, you've got to associate and understand. This hour, before it didn't matter. This hour you got to know better. See? Now people can say what they want. I'm not here to argue to anybody. I just preach what the prophet said. Like the spies. If they came right up to here to the borderland and looked over and said, well, I know it is there, but the obstacle is too great. We look like grasshoppers. They perished in the wilderness, border blind believers. In other words, the message brought us the stature of Christ, of a perfect man. It brought us revelation. It brought us relationships, which we'll get into later on with this here. We won't do it today. I never can. No way I can do it. See? People look and say, well, I'd like that. But is it really true that I can have it? See? Can I, as the person I am, get it? Now, let's go back to Hebrews here a bit. Fourth chapter, I'm sure, is what I want. Now, look. He's talking about the ones with whom Moses was grieved and God was grieved, they died in the wilderness. And the fourth chapter says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering in His rest, any of you seem to come short. It means believe that you missed it. He's warning right here, look, don't get that spirit on you that you're not one of them and you're going in. Now, in the light of the presentation that Brother Branham has given us concerning a bride of this hour, it looks as though we don't have a prayer. But it's not in our hands, it's in God's hands, and God has got a bride. And that bride is going to be what God says she is. And though we don't look for great things in the sense of what our understanding is, we look for what God's Word said. And He said, look, if there's in your town a group of people say, believe the message, or maybe nobody, you believe that you're the one that's going to make it. Now, that doesn't put anybody else. But you believe you're going to make it. And you don't say, well, I can't do that. So we look like grasshoppers. It's a great thing out there, but I don't think we can make it. I don't have what it takes. Nobody has what it takes. Who can roll the River Jordan back? Who can make the walls of Jericho fall down? See, people aren't looking at this. Who could bring a shout? God brought His own shout. Who's going to raise the dead? God's going to raise the dead. Who's going to get us up there? God's going to get us up there. See? In other words, our ability lies in Christ, and Christ has proven Himself faithful. We're identified. In other words, a pillar of fire represents us, as Brother Banner said. I read it this morning. Don't just come this far and say, I believe the message. You obey the message. And what is our great obedience? Faith. You can't get off the ground until first of all you believe. And then believing then begins to prove it. You obey the message. Come into Christ. That's first of all. You believe the word. You believe this is true. Then you're a candidate for the baptism with the Holy Ghost. If you don't believe it, it proves you're no candidate. Why? Because you've got nothing there to receive it. Now you say what you want, but that's the truth. If that seed's not in there, forget it. But you look at here. Go at the ground there. See, I don't like that ground. Okay, bring in the best fertilizer under heaven. Okay, you got the land just fantastic. It is perfect. And you got a grain of corn. We didn't know it was hybrid. No life in it. Just plumb dead. Can't reproduce itself. And you put the best water on. You get the best sunshine. Everything. And what it just wants. Now, you can be right in the midst of saying, hey, look at that. Shaken stem from stern. But if it's not that seed in there, you didn't have representation back there. You don't have it now. In other words, plain and simple, you didn't have it back there when God first came as a pillar of fire, began the light moving out to manifest itself. You don't have it now in this day when the same pillar of fire is here. Because you weren't in there. Now, that's all there is to it. That's the prophet's message. That's all I'm going to preach. See? That's good, he said. That is just being able to read. Take the message. Take it into your heart. And you must have the token. And the very life that was in Christ be in you. When I see that life, I'll pass over. It's adoption time, brother, sister. Revelation time. Come on. As we see the great end time signs on earth today, we know that that is right. Now look, I waited for a long, long time to get this message to you. And you've seen the end time signs. And I've preached it to you and showed it to you by everything that Christ said. Is that right? You admit that. At the end time, I don't see anything left. Now, Brother Brown knew the condition of the church, his people, and all about it. See? There's nothing left. See? This is where this age is. It's decision time. It's hot or cold. Right? And it's either life or death. It's the true vine or the false vine. True seed, serpent seed, whatever you want to put it. Maybe not go as far as serpent seed all the way down the line, but it sure looks like it. In Israel, when the trumpet sounded in that Jubilee year, every man. Do you notice Christ reading that? He just read half of it just because half of it was applied at that time. He sent me to bind up the broken heart, preach deliverance, and so forth, except for the year of the Lord. The rest of it, he never read that. He laid the scroll down, for that is for this day. He just read part of it. Now, this is what he's going to do today. This is what he's speaking through his anointed spirit in the church today. Now is that hour, and now is the time to receive it. Receive it, people. So let's go to Isaiah 61 and read it. We won't just talk about it. Of course, we all knew that scripture, ain't we? Okay. Verse 1 to 2. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to me, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison and the blind, to proclaim the acceptance of the Lord. That's the first time. Now this time. And the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, garment of praise, the beauty of heaviness. They might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now he goes on and tells you, this is the bride. This is what he's doing in this hour. See? The day of vengeance, the day of the Lord. But it's also the day of Elijah. The day of the pillar of fire. The day of comforting those that mourn. See, it will give them appointment. The accoutrements that make up the understanding of a marriage, where a woman coming under the headship of the man for her life, as her provider, her everything, just everything to her. That's what it is right now. See? It's going on. Now that's his hour. This is what he's doing today. And Brother Brand said, receive it. He's telling him flat, look at you. You can read this, what took place, and you say you believe it, then why not believe this? Amen. That's what he's telling him. Sure, you know he is. You tell me somebody turns that first part down? Ha! They won't turn that down. They lavish everything upon it. And they haven't got it. No covenant holds without the great covenant itself. the great covenanter, God himself, the Torah. See? Pardon me. Watch. We see the great end time, flashing red lights, everything. Everywhere upon nature, we see nature flashing light. The time is at hand. We see it upon the church, flashing light. She is condemned. The time is at hand. She is in the world. We see it upon the sky, upon the sea, upon the nation, upon everywhere. In the sun, moon, star, signs. We see the end time signs of the Holy Ghost return back upon the people. Absolutely. Matthew 12. Doing the same work. That's where that flange was on the pyramid. When the prophet comes, it caps it right off. And said, this was all you're getting out of the human vessel. And the great one comes down upon it. That's not rapture. That's preface. That's appearing. Sure, brother, sister. Sure, sure, sure. Don't everybody sell you short. That's why he came pillar fire first time. It's the Apostle Paul. He's Omega. Does it? He's Alpha. He was Alpha back there. Now he's Omega. As it was in the days of Lot, how the Holy Spirit worked through human flesh there. That was God manifested in flesh. That's the prophet God manifested in flesh. How God would manifest himself in his bride in that day and show the same sign. Well, how did God manifest himself in a bride? Oh, the bride did it. Hogwash. The prophet did it. Old people love to mess this up and say that, oh, come on. Anybody got any thoughts here? Is it different what I'm saying? Just give me one sign, please. Well, if you can't do anything, then give me a dollar sign. I'll pass the plate. Oh, merciful heaven. What's married people? I don't need your money. You don't need my money. We need God. But you see what I'm talking about? It's because the sign has been given, brother, sister. You don't need any more signs. He said the bride saw her last sign, the church saw its last sign in discernment, which is small stuff in the eyes of most people. They're like the Church of Christ. When the little girl was absolutely healed, they said, well, we thought maybe you'd come and we'd cut her hand and you'd heal it. Oh, Church of Christ, you talk about absolute morbid deception. The Church of the Devil. Come on, let's put it where it belongs. Weren't they tempting God and doing a thing like that? Well, come on. Let's get the thing where it belongs. I don't care about you and I mouth the name of Jesus and talk pretty talk. Look, that's hypocrisy. That's not done. How God would manifest himself in his bride in that day and show the same sign. Who showed the sign? William Branham showed the sign. That's how the bride did. He said, if the hand does it, my body does it. And if he did it, the bride does it. But put it where it belongs. Put it in the order. Jesus said the same will be in the last days. What last days? When did he say that? Matthew 12, Matthew 4. We see the same pillar of fire. Even signs are taken picture and so forth. We see the end time signs are at hand. We know it's here. And then seeing this, if you believe me, if you don't believe me, believe the signs, believe the word. For they speak of what I'm telling you. In other words, that's his vindicated authority to give the word. Very good. Now, if I'm not telling you the truth, they would never speak back. Because God will never speak to a lie. That's right. God's got integrity. You think God's going to back up somebody's word that's not his word? Now, we might back up our word that's not our word if somebody stuck a gun under it. But you stick a gun in God's wrist. How are you going to reach God? Well, if you want to know something, know it through a prophet. Know it the way God gave it. You see, look at this is revelation, brother, sister, not education. God speaks the truth. And these words are testifying that I'm telling you the truth. They are the ones that testify of the message that I'm preaching. Not only the angel down yonder in the river that day said, your message will forerun the second coming of Christ, the works itself. What if he come back and said, hey, I'll tell you all about that light. The thing down there. Do you think people would really believe that? Well, they'd have no reason to believe it. Moses knew that. Why? Well, he said, I can't go down and tell the Peter. He said, you can when I give you the signs. Oh, he said, okay, give me the signs. They were convinced. Now, but you got a bunch of sign seekers in Pentecost, they wouldn't believe any sign unless it was their sign. And that's a daughter thing. I guess you might as well miss the truth there. I remember their meetings. If you can't believe that angel told the truth, believe the works. For the Bible said these things would happen at the end time. They are they that testify. They are the ones that speak louder than my words or anyone else's. It's his word. They testify of the time. It is this time. Now, Jesus did that and they said, oh, we can't believe that. This guy's Beelzebub. He's the other one. See? Now, people refuse a prophet, but have no right to refuse the works. What are you going to do about that, see? So they attribute the works to Satan to get out of their pinch and to get in a bigger bind than ever. We see these great horrible end signs upon the people, end time signs upon the people, and the signs of the time upon the earth, and distress between nations. We see Israel and the homeland, the ensign, the six-pointed star. Star of David flying, the oldest ensign in the world, the oldest flag in the world. She's the nation, she's the government, she's her own people, she's the United Nations, she's got her own currency, she's got everything. Jesus said, this generation shall not cease until everything be fulfilled. And remember, the very night that Israel was made a nation, that is the night the angel of the Lord appeared to me, right yonder, that is right. Now, generation. Okay, Luke 3. And we're going to look at verse 7, I believe. 3 and 7. Then he said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you that freezing the wrath to come? Matthew 12. Wrong direction. Matthew 12, 33 and 34. Either make the tree good or his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things out of mouth? The abundance of heart speaketh. As Jesus himself. Just like John, same spirit. All right? Matthew 7, 15 to 18. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep clothing, inwardly ravening wolves. See, that's over there from Hebrews. You shall know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes of thorns, the figs of thistles. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, hewn down, cast to fire. Therefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Now, notice in each case, he is talking about fruit. In each case, he is talking about generation. So, the word generation here does not necessarily mean a span of time. It can mean a kind or a variety. So therefore, what you see in Israel, put in there by politics, that is not going to cease. He's going to come at that time. So let's not look for hours and try to figure, well, the angel came in 47, he came in this, and he did that, and he did the other thing, and let's try to figure how many years is this, how many years is that. Forget it. What's going on is going to go on. Just like it's going on right now, everywhere. The separation with us is going on right now. We're getting ready to get out of here. One taken, one left. See? It's going on with Israel, the same thing. So, this generation will not cease. That's what it says. You see, it makes sense. It lines it up. There we all are. Everything pointed up. Exactly the truth. I have not lied to you. I've told you the truth. God has testified that I've told you the truth. That's very important to understand there, brother, sister. Vindicated message. Now remember, I'm your brother. I'm a man. Just a man, just like you. But somebody has got to bring it. Somebody has got to say it. That wasn't my choice. That was his choice. And I've told you the truth. And he has testified right back that it is the truth. And people say, just a minute, we don't like that. We'll form a company. Not knowing that the president of South Africa one day said, if Moses had been a committee, the Israel would still be in Egypt. That's the way it is. Let's face it. You can't beat that for the truth, brother, sister. That may not be in the Bible. But the prophet indicated, and when he says something like that, it might as well be in the Bible. And we see these things upon the earth, the old people, this is the last hour. Get the token over you as quickly as you can, or get into the token, get in the token. Let's get into Christ, the body of Christ. As we see the great ensign of the time at hand, warning us, the time is at hand. Oh, take this solemnly. We should love one another. Now here he's exhorting, brother, sister, and watch that stature. We should love one another. Oh my, we should be so in love. Don't ever speak evil against one another. If somebody makes a mistake, pray for him right quick. We are together in this with God. In other words, mend all fences. Don't wait, because who knows what hour you're taken or that person's taken or the thing is all over. See? We are brothers and sisters. Oh, live godly. Live like daughters of God. Live like sons of God. Live sweet, kind, humble. Now, you can't do that by yourself. Let no evil come into your mind. In your thinking, just dismiss it. If it knocks on the door, take it away. Just say, just show your token. Keep walking. I'm under the blood. Remember, there were a lot that came by them, those women that night, and said, hey, Gertie, Lily, come out. Come on out. Some of you. We're going to party. I'm under the blood. I'm under the token to stay here. My love is my maker. Death is in the land tonight. Now this is stern warning at this time. Death is in the land. Today, judgment is waiting. She is pending. Atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, all kinds of disaster, waiting for the nation. God is moving his church and showing all. That's all he needs to show. See, we've been keeping up the Lamb now for quite a while, watching, seeing what he's doing. Well, who is this one? The Lamb in spirit form. He's proving himself. He's done it for years, and he's watching his nature, everything. But now the token has got to be applied. It has got to be applied. That is the only thing. Except a man be born a spirit in the water, he'll nowise enter in. See? In other words, you see, the Lamb will soon become a lion. Straight. Rending and tearing. It'll soon be over. See? Now, his ministry proved the token. Everything proves the token, and then he talks about that life. Many people say, we don't believe in the life here. How wrong they are. That's the greatest desire in my heart, not the things they think. To teach, that's simply a gift. Anybody could do that. But to have a life, growing up unto him, the genuine fullness, that's a different thing. You should love one another. Believers should separate themselves from the world. Don't take it lightly now. Don't take it lightly. Now, you people are listening to the tape. You women, you men, you listen in a minute. If you ever believe me now. It is time to quit fussing with one another. Believe the message of the Bible. Believe Jesus Christ. Love, honor, and respect one another. Men, respect your wives. You respect your home. Bring your home together. Because you remember this. Remember, this Lamb was for the home, not just one. Now, watch how the token is applied. It's all in here, see. Your whole home, too, had to be brought in. Everything had to be brought in. We should love one another. And believers separate themselves from the world. Now, there's the thing right there. Parents, you cannot love your kids getting in the world. Now, if they want to go out and do things, you've got to love them because someone else will love them if you don't. See, Brother Branham went through that. Everybody's got to go through it as a family. You got to, just like I say here, you stand for the defense of the gospel. You don't let people say, well, I don't believe what you people down there believe. You're wrong. And you got to apologize to us. Look, they made us liars, hypocrites, everything. We didn't do one thing. Never went near them. They want us now to take all the blame. Yes, I'll take the blame for preaching God's truth. I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And you better be set for it, too. Doesn't make you back off from this word, brother, sister. But then you don't go out fussing and fighting. Forget it. There's water over the dam. Under the bridge, there's no fish anymore. Forget it. See? Notice they were not yet come together to talk about... Notice they were not yet, just yet, come together to talk about the message. They came to apply the blood, to apply the token. But when you have applied the token, then you come and you talk the message according to Malachi 3:16. And when you do, that's all you've got interest in. They think we were in a little groove because we teach it, Brother Branham. Oh, well, yeah, I'll never get to it today, but I got my notes in here where he tells all this. He says about the evening time. We're on the beam, brother, sister. I missed my guess, and I'm not guessing. Pastor Neville, this congregation, trustees, deacons, you brethren, it's time we laid aside all the foolishness of the world. Lay aside everything else. We've seen enough. That we're positive, sure, the token must be applied. Now, remember, he appeared in 1933. The angel came in 1946. He died in 1965. 19 years in one place and 32 in the other. How long has God been delaying? How long will he delay before he brings up the dead? I don't know. That's his business. But this generation shall not pass with eating, drinking, marrying, buying, selling, this, that, everywhere on the world. No concern. But the bride had better get concerned because every day we're one day nearer home and one day nearer to judgment. One day nearer when we face the mercy seat, which is good, and placement. What have we done with the life he gave us? What have we done in our lives? It's time to clean up. Not to sit back and try to make way. Remember, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. And remember, Paul warns us absolutely and very carefully, happy is the man that condemneth not himself in the thing that he alloweth. See, all things are lawful, all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, I'll not be brought under the bondage of any. We are constantly fumbling that one, brother, sister. It's time to make a dedication and a consecration. And we're in position to do it. Oh, say, that looks hard. There's this lukewarm condition, all these pressures. That's exactly what the spies said. And what is it? They have 12 spies? I forget. I mean, if they had 12, 10 turned back, and they wouldn't take it. If they had 10, 2 took it, and the rest of them wouldn't. There's a very big percentage, brother, sister, that missed this here we're talking about. We're trying to see the whole complex of this message, not just one side. See, and I don't do much pastoring. You can understand I neglect one side. But I'm trying to catch up to a certain degree. Without it, you're going to perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. How do you? By one spirit, we're baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. Then he says, he was not responsible for anyone out from under it. But you believe. Get beneath it. Israel didn't come to say, let's go all over Goshen today. Drive to Goshen. Get on your camel. Take the ox cart. We'll go to the Joneses and the Goldbergs and go up to Goshen. You know what? Moses is going to speak up there. He's talking about himself now. Don't come just for the crowd's sake. Don't come for just meeting. Don't come for the signs and anything. You come and get what's real to you. And then he talked.